the wavy image of a movie lot is shown. Against a blue, cloud-filled sky, a gold logo swirls onto the screen. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment Company. A silver streak expands across the screen, changing into a bright blue swirl and slices through the rectangular Morgan Creek logo. Shown from overhead, a helicopter speeds through the sky. Small islands meander into the distance, and sunlight glistens on the water below. Chill factor. The chopper continues, moving toward a lush island. From the helicopter, a stern-faced man looks down at men clearing trees away from a small structure. The men look up as the helicopter approaches. The stern-faced man, an army officer, stares forward. Palm trees and tropical plants are blown by the helicopter's spiraling blades as it lands. The officer gets out and later is riding in a military jeep driven by a young soldier. The jeep stops and the officer gets out and moves toward the men.
Hemmings! Sam, I thought I told you to close up shop and be ready to move off the island by nightfall.
Yes, Captain Brennan, you did, but...
But what, Sam? Can't I go down the loading dock for a few hours without coming back to find a major screw-up?
Well, with all due respect, sir, Dr. Long told me to prep the field for detonation at noon.
We're on a very slippery slope here, Sam. A covert military operation riddled with civilian scientists.
You don't think it's that bad, do you, sir? I mean, Long spent the last 2 years developing his defoliant. The stuff can't even kill crabgrass yet.
Where's their protective gear?
It's 100 degrees out here, Captain. Don't you think the guys deserve a break?
We'll get a break tomorrow. Not going to take chances on our last day.
Captain Brenner returns to the jeep. Elsewhere, a door reads, "Caution, protective clothing required in this area." The door opens into a refrigerated room. A man in a white lab coat enters, picks up a cylinder, and leaves the room, closing the door behind him. He carries the canister across a laboratory and places it on a counter. He carefully unhooks two side locks and lifts the lid. A man in a bright print shirt enters the lab.
Hey, Doc, what's up? I thought we wrapped the test yesterday. Captain Brenner finds out we haven't closed up shop.
I had something of an epiphany this morning, Telstar. I eliminated the binary shell and I grafted the cobalt ion to the other side of the molecule. I think it might give us a significantly more rapid chemical ignition.
It better.
Doc goes to a room where a man is sitting at a computer.
Mr. Sweeney, how goes it?
Well, Costello's finished with the stability profile, but Abbott is still chewing on the load file.
So reaction temperature is 50 degrees.
Your prediction was on the nose.
How much longer for the range and power projections?
I don't know. He's working, but there's a lot of data. Maybe another hour.
We don't have an hour. We're already supposed to be shut down.
Outside in the jeep, Captain Brenner and his driver approach a low, flat building. Brenner gets out and goes into the lab.
Dr. Long!
Doc glances up.
What the hell's all this about a detonation today? We're scheduled to be off the island tonight.
And I changed the schedule. I don't work for you, Captain Brenner.
Sweeney tells me you don't have computer confirmation.
You know, Captain, if you hadn't spent so much of your career questioning your superiors, you might have found yourself with more gold leaf on your collar.
Long, you may be in charge here, but those men out there are my responsibility.
Look, this is a scientific experiment, okay? If it works, your stock at the Pentagon will go up along with mine. I don't think I need to mention you could use the help.
The NSA thinks the UN is onto your work here. The White House is screaming about chemical weapons, and we're sitting here with our hands in the damn cookie jar. Now, let me tell you something else. I didn't join the service to let people like you turn the United States into the kind of country we're supposed to be fighting
against. But you have no choice but to follow orders. Now, listen to me. I know you have moral objections to what we're doing here, but believe me, if I thought there was any real danger, I wouldn't go forward. You have my word on that.
The two men stare directly at each other.
All right. One more shot, provided we're off the island tonight.
Doc nods, and Brenner steps away. Doc
looks at Telstar.
Let's proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis is approaching the stage.
Telstar picks up a metal container and leaves.
Safe distance, 200 yards. And make sure Hemmings hears you say it.
Later at the small structure, soldiers are carrying tropical plants as Telstar arrives in a jeep. He gets out.
200 yards, Hemmings. D minus 5.
Putting on a jacket, he walks to the passenger side.
All right, we're moving out, man.
As the soldiers clear the area, Telstar carries the metal container toward the small structure. He places the container on a waist-high platform and climbs a ladder to the small structure. In the lab, Brenner watches as Doc continues working. Brenner looks at his watch and crosses his arms. On the platform, Telstar opens the metal container and removes two vials containing a blue substance. He slides open a hatch on the structure, then unscrews the lids of the vials. He puts them into the structure and closes the hatch. At the lab, Sweeney reaches for a computer printout. Meanwhile, the soldiers wearing rubber gloves are putting on their shirts. Telstar drives the jeep away from the structure, gets out, and slides a gas mask over his head. With the mask resting on his forehead, he looks at the small structure in the distance. In the lab, the structure is shown on a monitor, and a digital counter shows a temperature climbing to 33 degrees. Reading the printout, Sweeney stiffens and turns toward the computer. Telstar lowers his gas mask and shifts it into position over his face. Cloudy wisps of vapor drifting from the front as he breathes.
Dr. Long?
In the lab, the temperature reads 43.6.
I got 8,000 yards. Radius is 5 miles.
What?
Long, what the hell?
Abbott's predicting the effective detonation radius is 5 miles.
That's the entire island.
We gotta shut it down. We gotta shut it down.
The readout climbs to 46.9, then quickly moves to 50 degrees. As a flash of light explodes from the structure, Telstar removes his mask. From the structure, the shockwave moves rapidly outward, turning everything to ashes. In the lab, the monitor fills with a fuzzy haze. Soldiers run through the forest as the shockwave overtakes them. Trees disintegrate as it levels the island. In his jeep, Telstar is trying to outrun the shockwave, closing rapidly behind him, his flesh burning from his body.
Oh my God. I am become death. The destroyer of worlds.
Brenner runs to the door.
No! No! He'll kill us all!
Damn you, Long! My people are out there! Your people are out there!
It's too late! It's too late!
Soldiers stagger through the deadly haze, and Telstar continues speeding down the road. As the soldiers fall, smoke rises from their burning flesh. Telstar stops the jeep and runs to the low building, his body a mass of burning sores. Doc and the others watch him from inside.
Captain Andrew Thomas Brenner, it is the opinion of this review panel that the verdict delivered in this case is justified, and that you are in fact guilty of criminal negligence, resulting in the deaths of 18 members of a military research team on the date of August 18th. 1987.
In a military courtroom.
It is also this panel's opinion that the sentence of reduction in rank, forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and 10 years in the United States Disciplinary Command at Fort Leavenworth is justified.
Doc looks away.
Furthermore, you are advised that while you are a prisoner, you remain bound by the National Security Act of 1947. If you divulge classified information or discuss the nature of the project in which you were involved, you will face further prosecution. Do you understand?
Brenner stands at attention, staring forward.
I assume your silence indicates assent. Transfer to Leavenworth will be immediate. You're dismissed.
Brenner salutes sharply, and an officer returns the salute. Brenner and two guards turn to leave.
Andrew.
Doc faces him.
I wish they would have let me say something about...
There's nothing to say, Doctor. Someone had to take the fall, and they still need you, whereas... I've never been anything more than a thorn in their collective side, as you once said. So I'll be locked safely away in some hole, along with my secret sins. And yours.
Brenner and the guards walk away. Doc looks down solemnly. The screen reads, Fort Leavenworth. Inside, a door opens, and Brenner enters a stark cell. Long shadows slice across the wall, showing the rigid outline of cell bars. Wearing green fatigues with no rank or insignia, he flinches slightly as the door slams shut behind him and stares down sadly. The screen reads, 10 years later. The cell door opens. Brenner is sitting stiffly on a cot with an expressionless stare. A guard looks down at him.
Ready?
Brenner turns his head slowly. The corners of his mouth twist upward into a cold and sinister smile. He stands. In a rippling stream, Doc is knee-deep in water, fly fishing. He casts a fly delicately onto the top of the smooth surface, then whips the line through the air. A young man with a do-rag round his head carries fishing equipment to the bank and kneels.
I'm trying to figure out your secret.
My secret?
Yeah. 10 months we've been fishing this river together. We use the same equipment, more or less, but you pull twice as many fish out of the water as I do. And I'm good at this. I've been doing it since I was a kid. But you, I don't know. Somehow you think like a fish.
That's not possible, Mason. The trout is a perfect hunter. He's the master of his realm. How can we ever hope to win against the trout?
There's only one way you can do it, Mason. Turn the power of the hunter against him.
Tie a fly, create a piece of bait that sends a fish's instincts into overdrive, forcing him to strike. And only then does our noble friend realize that the prey can bite back.
Doc hooks a trout.
And that power, without caution, is death.
He reels it in.
People might say you're reading an awful lot into a simple thing like fishing.
Doc casts again.
Some people might, but I don't think you would.
Doc hooks another one. Mason shakes his head and looks away. Elsewhere, an attractive young woman with short blonde hair is solemnly loading bullets into a gun clip. More bullets are spilled across a tabletop. A fair-haired man is at a computer. A dark-haired man watches a man with a goatee pick up a phone. A solemn-faced man is sitting with them.
He's here.
It's about time.
They glance around at each other. The fair-haired man looks at the woman over his glasses, then begins typing. They look up as a black sports utility vehicle enters the abandoned warehouse and stops near the table where they are gathered. The solemn-faced man takes a long draw on his cigarette and closes his lighter. Brenner steps from the SUV and walks to them carrying a duffel bag. He drops the bag onto the table, removes his sunglasses, and stares down at the woman and the four men.
We all know what we have to do. So let's do it.
They begin loading their handguns.
Give me the bag.
No.
Give me the bag!
No. Hey!
A green SUV passes a gas station and stops in front of a dingy building. Mason gets out of the SUV and goes inside a diner with a plastic bag filled with fish.
Damn it, Mason, of all the days for you to show up late. First, the idiot April calls in sick. Then I got a bad tooth. And then my nightman shows up when he feels like it.
Darlene, it's 5:30. Now, I worked late for you this morning, and you didn't want to spring for overtime, remember?
Oh. Well, I have got to get to the dentist before he closes, which means you're going to have to cover the grill and the floor.
I can handle it.
Doesn't take a genius. Have we we do today, Doc?
Oh, caught a few, lost a few.
Story of my life. One thing you won't lose is that friend of yours back there, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no?
You're two of a kind, Doc. He may not have your sheepskins, and most of the time he looks like something the cat might have dragged in, but he's smart enough to get you somehow. There's something else, too.
We both like to fish.
Secrets. His, I know. Yours, I don't have a clue. But if it wasn't for you, I think he'd have drifted right on through this town.
You know, I have yet to get a simple cup of coffee and a meal in this place, Darlene.
And you ain't gonna start now. Mason?
Yeah?
Be sure you feed Bosco. And don't give him any ice cream like April. It gives him gas. And make sure there's two pots of coffee ready for the morning crowd blows in.
Got it, Darlene.
She leaves. While Mason cleans fish in the kitchen, Doc reads a paper at the counter. A man enters, walks across the diner, and stops behind Doc.
Is this stool taken?
No, go.
Doc looks up and sees Brenner smiling at him.
You look good, Richard. Look fit, healthy. Not at all like a man responsible for the deaths of 18 people.
Doc swallows hard.
Is that why you're here? To blame me? Well, you could have saved yourself the trip. I know where the blame belongs. But I didn't put you in prison, Andrew. The government did that.
Oh, I'm well aware of what the government did, I assure you. Actually, I've just come to say how grateful I am to you and the government.
Grateful?
Mm-hmm. Together, you gave me the opportunity to realize just how very wrong my life had gone. Do you remember telling me once, all through my career, I'd never fit in?
Doc glances away.
Well, you were right, of course. But after years of thinking the matter over, I began to see that the whole thing wasn't really my problem. What rational man could fit in with the sorts of things our government was doing? The sorts of things you've always done, Richard.
Do you think I haven't seen the bodies of those men every time I've closed my eyes? But after you went away...
Went away, I like that. It's almost quaint.
All right. After they put you away, I began trying to find ways of controlling the effects of the weapon that we tested on Horn Island.
And let me guess, you failed.
So far, yes.
Why is it you scientists can create implements of destruction so quickly, but when it comes to cures and benefits, your speed is nothing short of glacial? Though at least you're trying, Richard. And if the road to hell is paved with good intentions, we know you'll find your way there quickly. And don't worry. It's not such a bad place. I should know after all.
Brenner smiles coldly at Doc and leaves.
Okay, Doc.
Mason is fixing food in the kitchen.
The usual. Doc.
He holds up trout on a plate. Doc glances around solemnly. Later, it's dark as a car drives down a road. The screen reads, U.S. Army Research Lab, Jerome. Doc stops the car at a security gate and an MP steps toward him.
Good morning, Dr. Long.
Hi.
The MP pushes a button to raise a security arm and Doc drives forward. Later, Doc goes into a building and walks toward a man in uniform.
Morning, Doc. Awful early, aren't you?
Couldn't sleep, Pump. Is everything all right tonight?
There's nothing going on out there, Doc. Except maybe the occasional fly fisherman.
Doc chuckles and starts to walk away.
Hey, Doc. I want to try this one out sometime.
Pump hands Doc a fishing fly.
This one?
Meanwhile, Brenner and his crew stop at the security gate in their black SUV, and Brenner lowers his window.
Colonel Brenner, I got an appointment to see Dr. Long.
Can I see some ID, sir?
The dark-haired man grabs the MP from behind and slits his throat. Brenner looks forward, unemotional. The dark-haired man pushes the button to raise the security arm, and the SUV drives forward.
Video lock. You got 30 minutes.
Later, Pump's at his desk. The dark-haired man shoots him as he and the attractive young woman enter the building. A soldier steps into a hallway. the woman slits the soldier's throat, then looks up when Brenner enters. The dark-haired man kills another soldier who grabs at a chain, turning on a freestanding shower. The dark-haired man turns it off, and he and the woman follow Brenner deeper into the building. Brenner's eyes search through the shadow-filled hallway as he strides forward. Slowing, he turns toward Doc in a laboratory, and the two men stare at each other. Brenner shoots Doc through a window. Doc grabs his chest and falls. Brenner leans close to the shattered glass, peers inside, then turns away with a smirk. The dark-haired man shoots the lock off of a door and goes inside a room with Brenner. Brenner looks down at bloody footprints on the floor, then bends to pick up the fishing fly beside a splatter of blood.
Forget about him.
He sticks the fly into his vest.
Let's find the prize.
They leave the room and move quickly through the lab.
Vaughn,
the attractive young woman, goes to a keypad on a door.
We're in.
She speaks into a headset. Elsewhere, the fair-haired young man presses his watch and nods. Vaughn follows Brenner into a room.
This is it.
Vaughn steps to another keypad. They enter a refrigerated room and walk to a small door labeled Elvis. Brenner opens the door. Finding it empty, he leaves. Meanwhile, Doc is in his car. He breaks through the security arm and continues down the road. Meanwhile, a yellow delivery truck turns a corner on a city street. Inside, the driver's smiling and moving with the music. Signs on the truck read Andy's Ice Cream. The truck stops. The driver gets out and walks to the back with a clipboard. He looks around, turns his cap backwards, and opens the truck. He looks back at a large black dog.
What do you work from, a boss dog? Okay.
He opens a box.
Okay.
And tosses the dog some ice cream.
At least somebody likes this stuff.
He closes the refrigerated truck and rolls a dolly with several containers of ice cream to the diner. Inside, Mason is mopping the floor. The driver enters and Mason looks up.
Lord, too early for delivery.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get most of my day done before it hits 90.
Where's Sam?
Sam? Andy gave Sam a nice big desk to park his fat ass behind. Where do you want this stuff?
Freezer in the back.
Two deputies enter the diner.
Art? Morning, Mason. A few large coffees to go, okay?
All right.
A deputy walks to the counter, and Art follows.
So, Mason, last Wednesday night, were you out drifting around like the trash you are, or were you here working?
It was Wednesday night I was working. You recognize this young man?
He shows a photo.
Oh. Is there a problem?
You find yourself wearing a badge someday, then you can ask the questions. Until then, you answer mine. Got that? So you don't remember selling this young man beer Wednesday night?
I don't sell beer to minors. I take that kind of thing seriously.
That's not the way I hear it. Matter of fact...
Take it easy, Pappas. Mason, this boy says you did sell him beer that night.
Yeah. Well, he's lying.
Lying? Mason, you wouldn't know the truth if it bit you. We've got your whole record. We know about the conviction for vagrancy, public drunkenness.
I didn't sell the boy any beer.
Shut your mouth until I tell you to talk, son.
You know, I gotta tell you, that really bothers me. Somebody calls me son.
Then how about if I call you idiot?
All right, both of you, just cool off. Look, Mason, maybe the kid showed you a fake ID or you forgot to check.
I didn't forget to check, and I know how to spot a fake ID, especially from a little geek like that kid.
Pappas glares at Mason.
That little geek is my son.
All right, enough. Look, Mason, I don't want to hear about you selling alcohol.
I didn't sell any alcohol.
I'm not saying you did. Just don't, okay? Make sure you keep your nose clean. We won't have any problems. Let's go, Pappas.
Art walks away, and Pappas remains at the counter staring at Mason.
I said let's go.
You got a problem, too?
No, sir. I've never seen this guy before.
The driver gives Pappas a wide smile. Pappas sneers and leaves.
Sure as hell met a few airheads like that, though.
They watch Art and Pappas get into the patrol car.
You gotta learn to lighten up when the man's in your face.
That's my business.
No argument there.
Well, can you need me to sign an invoice or something?
Between this month and last month, you owe $417. And we need that in cash.
Since when does Darlene pay you in cash?
Since today. New policy.
Yeah, well, Darlene didn't say anything about it to me, so tell Andy to bill her like usual and let them sort it out. Move.
Mason rolls a bucket by the driver.
Well, he told me to collect cash.
Andy, another moron.
Hey, you and I are seeing eye to eye on a whole range of issues this morning.
Mason walks into the kitchen, and a door swings closed behind him.
Except for the fact that I need cash.
He could have called first.
He could have. That's true. But that would have been smart. And fair. Two things Andy is not. But I tell you what, being that it's cash, I'm gonna give you 10% off. Say, $375. Seeing that we both have so much love for Andy, I tell him I lost a few cartons coming over the mountain. That'll make up the difference, huh?
Well, Darlene usually gives me a signed check for emergencies. I could always give you that.
No. Wait. Night shift, see? A check is not cash. Cash got a whole lot of numbers on it, pictures of old white men with messed up hairdos. That's what I need. All right. I'll go you one better. $275, and I'll tell him you make up the balance next month. Huh?
Doc enters carrying a paper bag, his lab jacket covered with blood.
Doc?
Mason runs to him.
Oh man. Doc, hang on. What's this? Oh, shit. Come on, Doc.
Doc falls and looks up at the driver.
Is that his truck?
Yeah, that's my truck.
Mason, you have to take this to Fort Magruder in his truck.
Wait, this town is full of trucks. Nice new trucks. You don't need to go take my son.
We need your truck.
Call an ambulance.
Mason, no, there's no time.
Meanwhile, a black SUV and a van drive into town. Vaughn is seated behind Brenner.
Turn around at the gas station. Look behind the buildings.
In the diner.
So you called the damn thing Elvis.
I had no idea how powerful it was. 18 men were killed in seconds. With just a fraction of what's here.
Doc grabs his abdomen.
Oh, Mason. But now the man who did this, he's coming after it. You can't let him have it. You have to get it to Magruder.
Hey, Mike.
Mason glances up.
If you make it $150, we'll call it a day.
The black SUV moves toward the diner and the refrigerated truck. Doc's car and a semi are parked on a side street.
There.
Brenner studies the vehicles.
Check it out.
The black SUV pulls to a stop. And Vaughn gets out.
Carl, the main phone junction, move. This is already affecting our schedule. Dennis, radio the bikes. I want to know if so much as a squirrel comes up that road.
Yes, sir.
In the diner, Mason is leaning over Doc.
The cop has to be kept cold, or it'll ignite.
Cold? Cold? How cold? Never let it reach 50 degrees. Now, what if it does?
Everything will die, Mason. In seconds, everything for hundreds of miles. That's why you need a truck. Mason.
Outside, Vaughn shines a flashlight into the empty front seat of Doc's car and cautiously opens the driver's door. She walks toward Brenner as he gets out of the black SUV.
It's clean.
Check the immediate area.
This was supposed to be a quick in and out.
You have 10% of $100 million coming your way. I think we can impose on you for a little overtime.
She glares at Brenner as he walks away.
He's the only one I can trust. The only one who understands what this means.
Doc. Doc, wait. Doc, wait.
Doc's head falls limp to one side. The driver crawls forward and checks Doc's throat for a pulse.
Sorry, man, he's dead.
Outside.
After five.
Mason stands and goes to a window to look outside.
Phones are down, sir.
Vaughn, Burke, put me in the street, find out what you're doing.
Mason sees Brenner's crew talking.
We gotta get help.
Mason runs to a phone.
Oh, man! It's dead.
The driver looks down and rubs his forehead nervously. Outside, Brenner tightens his lips as he looks around the dark street. He sees the lights on in the diner and moves toward it. Later, he opens the back of the refrigerated truck and looks inside with a flashlight. He closes the large door. He goes into the diner and, glaring around, sees Mason behind the counter and the driver sitting stiffly in front of him.
Morning.
Is this your establishment?
Yeah, they call me Darlene.
The driver frowns at Mason.
Well, then how about a cup of coffee, Darlene? Iced coffee.
I assume you want that to go.
Assumptions are always dangerous.
Brenner looks at the driver, still sitting rigidly at the counter.
It's quite a get-out for Jack and Deere.
I beg your pardon?
You want to hunt out a season, it's cool with me, but most people, they just take a six and a rifle. You, on the other hand, look like you're after something more dangerous.
Actually, I was just looking for a restroom. I assume you have one.
Assumptions are always dangerous.
Mason opens an ice maker. Inside, Elvis's readout shows 18.5 degrees.
There is one in the back.
Brenner steps away. Brenner steps to a rack of fishing poles and touches one. It sways against the others in the rack as he returns to the counter.
That was quick.
To tell you the truth, we're looking for a scientist who's gone missing from the tech center. Maybe you know him. Richard Long. We're worried about him.
I'll keep an eye out.
Doc Long. Yeah, I know him. Weird old guy. He comes in from time to time, yeah. Not tonight, though.
Brenner narrows his eyes and stands.
Odd, then. His car should be right outside.
Like I say, Doc Long's an odd guy.
Brenner steps to the kitchen, opens the door, and stops, stepping in a puddle of blood oozing across the floor. The driver stiffens and exchanges looks with Mason. Brenner closes the door and returns to the counter, leaving bloody footprints on the floor. Unseen by Brenner, Doc's limp body is hanging behind the door. Brenner looks at his steaming cup of coffee, sets it on the counter beside the driver, and walks away.
Say, General.
Brenner stops and turns toward Mason.
That'll be 50 cents for the coffee.
Brenner returns to the counter and reaches into his pocket. He pulls out the now bloody fishing fly, holds it up, looks at it, and places it on a dollar bill on the counter, then leaves with a smirk. Mason hurries to Elvis in the ice maker.
What did I say? Dude in uniform, get in your face. You do not shout your mouth off.
I need your truck.
No. You don't need my truck. You need somebody else's truck and a busload of ice.
Look, if I don't get this stuff to Magruder, it's goodbye Andy's ice cream, goodbye Jerome, goodbye Montana.
Wait a minute, you don't believe the dead guy, do you?
Yeah, I believe him. He was my friend.
Crying out loud. Hey, listen, you know what I think? I think he's a wacko, and I think that G.I. Ninja's a bigger wacko, and I think you're the biggest wacko of all wanting to be a part of this wacko stuff.
I need your help.
The driver lowers his head and peers up at Mason.
You are seriously mistaken if you think you are going anywhere in my truck.
Then you drive me to Magruder.
Look, I got 2 tons of the world's nastiest ice cream sitting in a truck that should have been retired 10 years ago. That stuff will be worthless by noon. And if that Elvis stuff is as dangerous as you seem to think it is, I'm getting my ass as far away from you and it as possible. Peace.
Fine.
Slapped it right off his neck. Thing
wait, 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 wait. Hold up. Look. You want cash? I got I got $50. I'll get more. I'll rent the truck from you. You can go, you can stay here, whatever you want.
No.
He turns away, and Mason gets a handgun.
All right, then how about this?
You won't piss me. What the hell are you supposed to be doing?
I need your truck.
You are not taking my truck! How far you got to go?
Go.
Later, Mason and the driver go outside.
Go on. Damn it. Would you hurry up? Now put this in the back. Keep it safe.
The driver takes a backpack containing Elvis and climbs into the back of the refrigerated truck. He comes out and closes the door.
Come on, let's go. Did you keep it safe?
Yeah, I kept it safe. Dad was with you, dog. He's the one with the damn gun.
He gave him ice cream, didn't he?
Come on. Yeah, he came off my ass.
What'd you do that for? It makes him mean as a snake.
That dog was mean before I met him.
Okay, mean?
I will stomp your ass. I will bust a mud hole in your ass. Don't tell me to shush. It's none of your business. Man, I can talk all I want. Just shut up.
They get in the truck.
Are you kidding me? Come on. Damn.
What the hell's going on?
Happens to this piece of junk all the time. Damn diesel injectors or flooded.
Excuse me. Can you fix this?
You want to give me a minute?
The driver puts on a jacket and gets out.
It's national security. I guess it's okay.
The driver lifts the hood. Outside a motel...
I just hope we don't bust in on anybody doing what people do in motels.
The dark-haired man looks toward the ice cream truck as the driver works under the hood.
Wait for me here, sir, if you don't mind.
Mason watches in the truck's side mirror as the dark-haired man walks toward the refrigerated truck. Mason taps on the front window. The driver looks up, then lowers the hood. The dark-haired man shines a flashlight on a rear tire. The dog leaps on him, knocking the man to the ground. Mason peeks out the window.
Damn dog!
The dog runs away. The dark-haired man stands, brushes himself off, and leaves. Keeping low, Mason slips out of the truck. Still holding the handgun, he carefully closes the door. Inching forward, he looks down and the driver is lying perfectly still under the front of the truck. The driver lifts his eyebrows and looks at Mason.
Get back in the truck.
You mean tell me to get in the truck? I'll get that ass in a minute. Wait.
They get into the truck and carefully close the doors.
Better coast through town.
The driver releases the brake, and the truck begins to move. Its shadows traveling across the city buildings. As Vaughn and Brenner walk down a dark city street, Mason and the driver coast down a street behind them. Mason looks at the driver.
We're clear.
There he is.
Rounding a corner, they drive through town. Elsewhere, two of Brenner's men are sitting at the side of the road with their motorcycles.
Hold it, I hear something.
One of the men watches the truck through a night vision device as it passes.
Get Brenner on the radio.
Come in, command. Truck just passed.
Checkpoint, over.
An image of the truck shows on a monitor in the van.
Run that back. Enhance it.
The monitor shows a close-up of Mason and the driver. An image of the two men prints out as Brenner and Vaughn approach.
Sir, this transmission just came in.
Brenner takes the print.
Well, it appears someone's been lying to us.
Brenner and the dark-haired man with his gun drawn enter the diner. They walk to the back and open the kitchen door. As the dark-haired man goes in, Brenner peers around the door, sees Doc's body, and curls his lip into a sneer.
Alert device.
They leave.
It's in the back of the truck. You have a go.
Roger. We're on it.
The two men get on their bikes.
Sir, all potential customers have been informed of the delay. Any further orders?
So, a pair of average citizens have decided to risk their lives for their country. I almost remember what that feels like.
The early morning sun is slowly climbing into an orange and yellow sky as the refrigerated truck moves down a highway. Red mesas stretch into the distance around them.
No signal. It's
suppose you're going to shoot me because you can't get service on my cell phone.
Holding the gun, Mason rubs the back of his hand against his forehead. They stop and look at a road sign. Arrows point to Billings, Helena, Missoula, and Fort Magruder.
Billings? No. We need to go to Magruder.
The driver sets the parking brake.
No, you gotta go to Magruder.
No.
We gotta go to Magruder. I go where the truck goes.
No.
To get to Magruder, you have to go through Missoula. And I ain't going through Missoula. No way. We're going to Magruder. I ain't going through Missoula! Am I missing something here? Look, I kind of borrowed the truck from Andy.
Borrowed?
Yeah, borrowed!
You stole this truck!
I did not steal this
you
truck!
You stole this truck! That's what all the bull about the cash was, wasn't it? You stole this truck, and now you're trying to sell the ice cream for money!
I didn't steal the truck! He owed it to me! Anyway, the important thing is, I'm not going through Missoula!
Look, I don't give a damn if you go through Missoula at 100 miles an hour.
We're going to Magruder. Remember, I still have this.
Mason sticks the gun in the driver's face.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm about to get in your ass like last year's underwear, man.
That's fine.
I ain't playing now.
Whatever.
Meanwhile, the two motorcyclists are weaving through traffic on a highway. Elsewhere, the refrigerated ice cream truck moves down a long stretch of road. Mason looks out at the arid countryside and turns on the air conditioner. The driver turns it off and smiles with his nose in the air.
Hey, can't push old Pete this heat. Can't take it.
Mason rolls down his window. As the motorcyclists speed down the highway, passing cars, the driver and Mason continue their casual pace down the road. Mason looks in the side view mirror and sees the two motorcyclists moving up fast behind them.
Better speed old Pete up.
The driver checks his side view mirror as a motorcyclist pulls up beside his window. Oncoming traffic dodges to miss the cyclist. The biker aims a gun at them. The driver steers hard left, forcing the cyclist into the path of an oncoming logging truck. The cyclist hits the truck head on and flies through the air. Logs fall from the logging truck as it leaves the road. The second biker rides through the flames toward the refrigerated truck.
Holy smoke! Damn!
Okay.
The second biker rides to the back of the ice cream truck and, leaving his bike, pulls himself onto the back bumper. His bike crashes. The biker opens the back of the truck.
One of them's in the back.
The driver sees a road sign reading 10% grade and makes a sharp right on a hairpin curve. As the second biker is jostled in the back of the truck, Mason tosses his gun onto the dash. The driver's eyes widen as Mason opens his door and climbs outside.
You're not going back there!
Shut up!
The driver grabs the gun.
Take your gun!
Doesn't work.
What? Doesn't work!
It's not even loaded!
You mean to tell me you hijacked me with an empty gun?
Yep.
Hey! When this is all over, remind me to kick your ass!
With a quick smile, Mason, now hanging on the side of the truck, inches his way to the back. Behind them, the black SUV drives by the burning motorcycle and the cyclist's body sprawled across the highway. Brenner and Vaughn look out their windows.
Looks like our share just got bigger.
Meanwhile, Mason is hanging on the side of the ice cream truck. From his side mirror, the driver watches Mason's foot slip as he climbs toward the back. Mason puffs his cheeks out in a heavy sigh, works his way to the rear, and reaches toward the open back door. With one hand holding a thin rail on the side of the truck, he reaches out with the other, jumps, and catches hold of the door handle. His body swings freely behind the speeding truck as the open door sways back and forth, then flips him into the back of the truck. The second biker grabs Mason and starts hitting him. With a backpack flung over his shoulder, the second biker hurries to the back of the truck and climbs out. Meanwhile, the black SUV and the van make the hairpin turn as the second biker climbs onto the top of the ice cream truck and stands. His shadow dances across the dusty roadside as the truck speeds along. Mason climbs on top of the truck and lunges at the second biker. The second biker hits him. The biker throws Mason down, and the backpack rolls across the top of the truck. The men continue fighting. The second biker continues kicking and hitting Mason, who rolls off the speeding truck and grabs a thin railing along the top edge. The driver watches in a mirror as Mason hangs off the truck. The second biker stomps on Mason's fist, grinds his foot against it, and leans over him with a knife. Mason lets go with one hand, and the second biker grinds his foot against the other fist. The driver sees a rocky ledge hanging over the road ahead of him.
Get him to stand up, night shift!
Mason sees the rock. The second biker stands and turns forward. He hits the rock face first and lands on the hood of the car behind them.
Okay! All right!
Mason hauls himself onto the top of the truck beside the backpack and rolls onto his back. He sits up and grabs the biker's knife as the black SUV and the van weave through traffic on the road below them. Meanwhile, Deputy Art is questioning a man.
So you're sure it was Mason?
Positive. He came out of the store with the ice cream guy. The men from the base, they took off right after him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. It must have happened right after we left.
Pappas turns toward Art.
Missoula is reporting the refrigerator truck as a stolen vehicle. I told you Mason was walking smart.
Pappas, that other guy was unloading ice cream into a freezer. Now, what could he have to do with a military scientist, huh?
The sooner you get up to the lab, the sooner you'll figure it out.
Pappas gets into his patrol car.
And where are you going?
After that refrigerator truck.
Pappas leaves. On the road, Mason climbs through the window into the cab of the truck. He leans back in the seat.
Oh, Elvis is on ice again.
Okay.
Nice job back there.
Hey, don't give me that nice job stuff, man.
We still got a van load coming. What do you got besides an empty gun?
I was thanking you, that's all.
He grabs a cell phone.
It's going through.
911 emergency, please hold.
You got it. They put me on hold. Probably because they know a psycho when they hear one.
No, I'm not a psycho.
Hey, take a look at your situation and reconsider that statement there. You're a psycho and a hijacker.
Right. The gun was empty.
But every time I look at you, I want to hit you.
You want to hit me?
You know, I'm a peaceful man. I believe in live and let live.
You're in the truck to uphold your principles, right?
I did not steal the truck. It was owed to me. You stole the damn truck.
Shut up. It's beeping.
Well, then that means it's cold waiting.
The driver takes it.
You snatch that piece from me one more time.
Andy's ice cream.
He smiles.
Dutiful citizens, you have something which I have waited years for. Give it to me now or you'll be dead within 5 minutes.
It's for you.
Mason snatches it back.
Yeah.
Contrary to what Dr. Long may have told you, this is neither your concern nor your fight. Relinquish the package and you can go.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
What'd he say?
Don't be tedious. Dr. Long called it Elvis. You have no idea what you're in possession of, do you?
Listen, shoehead! I got $3,000 of highly perishable ice cream product that tastes bad enough when it's frozen.
Just give me Elvis and I'll make sure you have enough money for a dozen ice cream trucks.
I don't ever want to see another ice cream truck.
Give me the damn phone.
Talk to me.
I want you to look at one another and ask a simple question. Are you actually prepared to die for a country that's never done a thing for you? Because if you don't give me that cylinder, your lives will end on this miserable road to nowhere. And I can't guarantee the end will be quick.
Elvis is freaking dead, man. Get yourself some CDs.
He tosses the phone onto the dash. The refrigerator truck continues down the road. The black SUV and the van racing along the steep roadway a distance behind them.
Bomb, get the M79 ready.
You can't fire on them. You're going to detonate the crystals.
Prep the launcher now.
Now!
The SUV slides to a stop, and they get out. Vaughn runs to the van behind them and reaches inside as Brenner looks down the hill at the winding road below them. She gives Brenner the launcher and he rests it against his right shoulder. He sets his sights on the ice cream truck, then launches at a gas tanker. The tanker explodes and Brenner smiles. Mason and the driver watch in horror as a huge ball of flame billows into the sky. It boils past them as they drive on a higher road. Brenner points to a map as the dark-haired man passes.
Your move.
Okay, Vaughn, you drive.
The dark-haired man goes to the back of the SUV. He removes a coil of rope, hangs it over his shoulder, and, dropping over a ledge, leaves. Meanwhile, Mason and the driver reach the burned-out tanker on a sheer ledge.
Hey, 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 stop!
A wheel slides off the road.
Back up! Back up!
OP, come on! There it is, OP! Come on, baby!
The truck moves backward.
Hey, you got it! You got it! Go, go, go! Got it! Got it! Got it!
On the crumbling roadway, it moves back onto solid ground at the site of the explosion. Mason gets out. Ah. Staying close to the truck, he makes his way forward.
Oh, shoot! Oh, we're screwed, night shift!
They peer over a steep, treacherous ledge.
Think we can make it?
You think we can make what? You see that truck?
I don't think we have much of a choice, do we?
They see the SUV and the van coming.
Oh. Oh, shoot. Okay.
They get back in the truck. The driver's eyes widen.
Oh, shoot. Damn. Oh, Petey. Oh, Petey. Oh, please, Petey. Please don't do this to me.
The driver looks under the hood. He licks his fingers.
Okay. Okay.
He gets back in the truck as the vehicles move closer.
I should have had that dog bite me. I would have got rabies. Could have went to the hospital. Had a pretty nurse. Hey, hey. Woo. Okay.
Go, go, go. Go.
They start inching the truck forward. The outside edge of the road has been blown away.
Come on, OP. Come on, OP. Oh, man. I'm going, baby.
Easy.
Left. Get over. Come on, OP.
A tire drops into a hole.
I know the likelihood of you knowing any prayers is slim, night shift, but you might want to give it a try.
The truck rakes the rock wall on the driver's side.
Come on. Hey, you got it. Got it. Go.
On solid ground again, they speed down the road.
I made it. What are you talking about? I'm the one driving.
The dark-haired man slides down a rope in front of them and shoots at them. They hit him with a truck. They peek up over the dash and keep moving. The black SUV and the van arrive at the site of the explosion. Grinner looks out his window at the burning wreckage, and they move on. Meanwhile, Mason and the driver are on a two-lane road behind a pickup filled with bales of hay.
You've got a passenger. Gee, you think so?
The driver pulls into oncoming traffic in the left lane, then whips back behind the pickup.
Okay, that didn't work. Gee, you think so? Shut up! Here we go.
He pulls out again. A vehicle comes at them and they swerve toward a guardrail. They sideswipe the guardrail and the ice cream truck turns onto its side. A man pulling an aluminum boat crashes his station wagon into them. Mason and the driver kick out their front window.
Ah! Damn! Come on. Go, go.
They climb out, and the driver turns toward the truck.
Oh, Pete! Oh, shoot! Oh, shoot!
They hurry to the back of the truck. Ice cream is littered onto the road. Mason climbs over the litter into the refrigerated unit and pulls out the backpack.
Okay. All right. Give me that.
Okay.
Please keep it calm. Yeah.
He stuffs ice cream bars around Elvis.
Let's go. Okay. All right.
The driver grabs a tub of ice cream.
Hey, put it back. Take it off.
Shut up!
A man climbs out of the station wagon, rubbing his head. Mason looks down at the SUV, passing cars on a road below them.
Hey, wait. I got an idea.
Hey, what's going on here? You guys all right?
Stay back. I'm taking your boat.
Listen to him. You don't know who you're dealing with.
I'm a dangerous man.
He's a dangerous man. He's crazy.
I'm crazy.
What are you doing?
Taking it downhill.
What? You're not dangerous. You're crazy. I can't.
Stay here. Oh, shoot.
Okay. Come on.
They pull the aluminum boat off the trailer as the SUV moves closer. They shove the small boat and its motor over the guardrail, then stand beside it and look over the edge.
Oh, hell no!
They look down at a river, and Mason gets in the boat.
I want you to come anyway.
What?
Come on!
Shoot! Oh, shoot! Oh, shoot!
The driver gets in and grabs hold.
Come on!
They rock the boat forward, and it takes off down the steep hillside through the trees. They clear a fallen tree trunk, shearing the motor off the back as they sail down the slope. The boat races to a rocky ledge and stops. The boat balances there, then tips forward slowly. Mason grabs the driver.
Don't let go! Don't let go! Don't let go!
Still.
They slowly sit up and move toward the side of the boat. The boat tips forward and takes off again with the two men clinging to each other. It sails off the hillside and goes airborne. With Mason holding onto the backpack, the men and the aluminum boat plunge toward the river below. They fight their way to the surface. The driver throws two oars into the boat and climbs in. He pulls Mason in after him.
Are you crazy? Take the boat!
Meanwhile, a man is throwing melting ice cream from the refrigerated truck.
There's nothing in here, sir. He got away with it.
All right, let's clear the mess and move out.
Brenner takes a bite of an ice cream sandwich. On the river, the driver and Mason are paddling the boat through the peaceful waters. The thermostat on Elvis climbs to 40 degrees.
Uh-oh.
What?
Thing just went up a degree. Ice cream's not working.
This river's fed by a glacier. I'm willing to bet my life it's a good deal under 50 degrees. What do you think?
Worth a try.
Mason ties a thin rope onto the backpack and lowers it off the side of the boat into the water.
Hey, you didn't happen to lock the truck up when you got out, did you?
You're a freak, man.
See, now, why would you do that to a man in my position?
Hey, I didn't steal the truck. You stole the truck.
Hey, I told you, I did not steal that truck. Andy owed me a lot more than that four-wheel piece of junk was worth.
Well, let me start half the time.
You know what I'm saying? I deserve a lot more than that truck. 10 years. 10 years I busted my ass for that fat rat bastard. And he swore. He swore once I got a degree, there'd be a sales rep desk with my name on it. But every time something opened up, there'd be some idiot cousin or nephew or some good old boy just ready to just slide him right in there. What about me, huh? What about Arlo, huh? What about my needs? You know, I got student loans, overdrawn bank accounts. Nobody looking out for my interest. My credit was fouled. And then when he promoted Sam over me, I just snapped. So I split.
Mason watches as Arlo rows the boat, then puts down the oar and slumps his shoulders. Mason nods.
So you took his truck.
I took his truck, yeah.
Elsewhere, Brenner's looking at a map.
This river ends at a hydro dam in Missoula. All we need to do is get to Mason before anyone else does.
Pappas drives toward them.
Carl, Dennis, get out of sight.
Two men hurry away as the car approaches down the dusty road, its emergency lights flashing. Brenner and Vaughn walk toward the car as Pappas pulls it to a stop and gets out.
Officer Pappas, I'm glad you're here.
Mind if you tell me what's going on?
Colonel Brenner, U.S. Special Operations Command out of Fort Bragg. We were called in by the Jerome base to pursue a man who's stolen government property.
Right, Tim Mason.
You know the suspect?
Yeah, he's wanted in connection with a death this morning at the Jerome General Store.
Richard Long.
That's right.
Long went missing from the tech center this morning along with a very dangerous chemical weapon, Deputy. I deeply appreciate your assistance on this. Who knows? Might even put some more gold on that collar of yours.
Meanwhile, in Jerome, a body is carried from the research lab on a stretcher. A man in civilian clothes leaves a helicopter.
Is the facility secure?
Yes, sir, Colonel. There's four dead, but the security video's clean.
It's a patched in feed. It's probably a loop.
The Colonel looks at the dead MP, then turns away.
Deputy. Deputy, I'm Colonel Battelli. I'm a special assignment.
Deputy Art Lewis, Jerome County Sheriff's Department.
I don't suppose you'd like to tell me what this is all about.
I will tell you what I can.
Colonel Vitelli, you got a busted in code vault inside.
Is it?
Looks like it. Yes, sir.
Alert 75th Rangers, code blue. Tell them Elvis has left the building.
What the hell are you talking about, Colonel?
We ID'd the bodies.
They were all wearing hardware.
Any of them Richard Long?
No, sir.
I've got Dr. Long's body down at the coroner's office. One of our units is pursuing a suspect up to 35.
Who's your suspect?
A man named Tim Mason.
Run a check. FBI, Interpol.
Yes, sir.
You're right, Lewis. This Mason is one hell of a pro. He must have a service record and a paper trail somewhere.
Mason? No, he's a soda jerk drifter, a hamburger flipper.
It could be a cover, I suppose.
Whoever did this, the man that knows his business.
On the river.
Listen, Arlo.
Whatever it's worth, I'm sorry I dragged you into this mess.
To tell you the truth, you didn't. Not completely, anyway. If that gun was loaded, I didn't buy you as a shooter. It was your friend, Long.
Something about that look in his eye when he talked about that Elvis stuff.
Well, all the same, if we get to Missoula, help me find a car. I'd appreciate it then. You can split.
Split? I wouldn't get 10 miles. Like I said, I got a pretty good idea of what's at stake here. We need to finish this night shift. Hang on to your ass, Missoula. Arlo's back. And he's bringing the king.
Later, Arlo walks past two trucks parked in front of a building marked Andy's Ice Cream. He glances around and goes to a pickup truck. He looks at the ignition, then pulls down the visor. Crossing the parking lot to a door, he opens it and goes up a long staircase. Meanwhile, Mason runs to an ice machine, grabs a plastic bag of ice, and hurries into a store. Elsewhere, a door swings open, and Arlo cautiously peeks into a room. He saunters inside casually, looks around, then quickly goes to a desk and opens a drawer. He rummages through more drawers and looks around the cluttered desktop.
Hey, Arlo!
He turns toward a heavyset man in the doorway.
Well, that just about figures for today.
So, where's my truck?
It's, parked just off of Highway 35.
I did what I could for you, Arlo, and you screwed me for it. Now, where's my truck?
I ain't got time to argue with you today, Andy. But I can tell you this. Taking your truck pissed you off? Huh? You're gonna be real mad when I take the pickup.
Brenner's behind him.
And so, Missoula's prodigal son returns.
Mason's icing down Elvis. The temperature reads 41.3.
Hello?
I got someone who's anxious to talk to you, Mr. Mason. I urge you to be persuasive. This country trained me to kill without compunction.
Brenner hands Arlo the phone and points a gun at Andy. Arlo leans back.
Well, well.
And smiles.
Funny situation, ain't it, Andy?
3 seconds. One.
You gotta help me, Arlo.
Two. Where'd you get that tub of lard, Sam, to help you?
Look, I'm sorry. I'll make it up to you. Whatever you want. Please.
Gentlemen, I have never been known for my patience.
Arlo!
Arlo! All right. Hey.
Arlo picks up the phone.
Hey. Mason.
Yeah.
Looks like you gotta cut a deal with this idiot. You know, it is nice to see Andy squirm. I don't want his brains all over my shirt. Or my conscience.
And you owe me, man.
Yeah, no, I know.
Brenner takes the phone.
You still there, Mr. Mason?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Then meet me at the dam in 15 minutes and be intelligent about this. Tricks will cost lives.
Mason tosses down the phone and looks at fishing supplies. He sees packets of blue gel.
Create a piece of bait that sends the fish's instinct into overdrive, forcing him to strike.
Everything all right, son?
Yeah, just trying to remember something somebody once told me about tying a fly.
And only then does our noble friend realize that the prey can bite back.
Yeah, those.
In the van, two blips are moving on a radar screen.
Sir, I think you should take a look at this.
Judging by the signature pulse and velocity, helicopters. Maybe 15 minutes.
Rangers. That was only a matter of time.
Of which we have more than enough.
Several helicopters are flying rapidly through the sky. Inside, Rangers are dressed in camouflage fatigues.
All right, listen up. Stay sharp. Now, this is the guy we're looking for. His name is Tim Mason. Now, he's got the acrylic container.
Do we know what's inside?
We don't need to know. Let's just get it back, all right?
The van and the black SUV drive down a curving road at an amusement park. They pull to a stop at a curb, and Brenner gets out. The park is filled with families, and a little girl turns as Brenner walks up a long staircase. He makes his way along a walkway fenced with chain link and looks down at the dam. At the edge, Mason is unrolling a length of rope and lowering the container over the side of the dam.
I don't see my container.
Mason holds up the rope.
You try anything, it goes in the river. It's a little late for matinee heroics, Mason. Just give me the container.
Where's Arlo?
Brenner looks around and steps away.
Bring him here.
Below him, Arlo gets out of the car. Vaughn kicks the door shut. Mason quickly unrolls more of the rope and the container moves lower. Vaughn pushes Arlo, his hands tied ahead of her, down the fenced walkway to Brenner. He shoves a gun in Arlo's face.
Bring him down!
Brenner pulls Arlo away from the fence and Mason keeps lowering the canister. Meanwhile, the helicopters are moving closer. Mason holds the rope out in front of him as Arlo and Brenner approach.
Your fellow hero, untouched and unharmed despite the mouth.
Him first.
Brenner pushes Arlo toward Mason. As Brenner holds out his hand, Mason holds the rope nervously, then tosses it at him.
Run!
The rope falls and the canister lowers. Brenner lunges for the rope and starts pulling up the canister. Vaughn runs toward the fence. Brenner drops as Vaughn takes aim. She shoots, hitting Mason, and he and Arlo fall. Hand over hand, Brenner raises the canister. Vaughn runs to Arlo and Mason and holds a gun on them as Brenner hugs the container in his arms. At the radar screen...
Rangers.
Let's go.
Dennis and Carl leave the van. Carrying the container, Brenner walks to Mason and Arlo.
You should have taken the money.
Belong to you. You would have killed us anyway.
Brenner looks up at the approaching helicopters.
Just when we have all the cards, Vaughn. Get these two behind the van.
Move! Move!
She kicks Mason. The helicopters move closer to them on the dam.
I got the container! Bring it in hot!
That's not Mason.
Doesn't matter who he is. Going in!
Brenner strides away as Vaughn pushes Arlo and Mason to the van, and a helicopter flies overhead. The two men fall. She hits Mason with her gun. Leaning against the fence, Brenner smiles casually. Arlo watches with a smile as the armed Rangers leap from the helicopters and land on a dead run. As one of the vehicles faces a helicopter, Rangers fall to the ground, aiming their weapons. Brenner continues smiling. Mason's hands are tied and his face is bloody. Arlo looks at him with a concerned frown.
Are you right?
It's far enough, gentlemen.
Rangers approach Brenner.
You know who I am?
Gas masks.
Gas masks. Gas masks. The men on Horn Island had gas masks.
Where's Horn Island?
Was. Horn Island was.
A helicopter rises up behind them.
Listen, Arlo.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Colonel Vitelli looks down from the helicopter. Brenner removes the top of the container and reveals tubes of blue gel. He lifts one out and smiles as Vitelli's helicopter lands.
Do you know what'll happen if I drop this?
Vitelli walks to the Rangers on the dam and looks at Brenner.
Brenner.
Well, Lieutenant Vitelli. Good to see you again, Leo. Pleasant surprise.
I can't say it's a surprise. And I certainly can't say it's pleasant. Soon as I heard Elvis was on the loose, you came to mind. I checked your release date. I never like coincidences.
And I don't like deviations from plans, Leo, as I'm sure you remember.
Colonel, sir? Who the hell is this guy?
He was Major Andrew Brenner. We did two tours together in Vietnam. Until he got busted down the nurse meeting scientists.
Yeah, I had a small problem with members of our side murdering civilians. But I assure you, Leo, I lost all my squeamishness at Leavenworth. I'll have no compunction at all about using this.
Brenner licks his index finger and points it up in the air.
Winds northwest, that ought to be Seattle. Or I may be wrong, breeze could be gusting south. That'd be Billings, maybe even Salt Lake. Not to mention Casper, Destry, Fair Oaks.
Knowing you, Brenner, you've got fires waiting to buy. You're not going to use that here.
I'm warning you, Leo. Don't test me. Get your men and your machines off my radar screen in 5 or 3 million people will die. I'll do it.
Tell the choppers we're lifting off!
Excuse me, sir?
Your colonel's giving you a wise order, soldier.
It's not over, Brenner.
He gives Vitelli a cold smile. Vitelli takes a few steps back, then turns and walks away.
Sir, we just can't let him get away with this.
You fight the battles you can win. Now, we've been outmaneuvered here. Brenner's next move is going to be to get Elvis out of the country and sell him to the highest bidder. To do that, he has to plan the exit point. That's where we intercept him. That's where we make our play. Now, you and your men back off.
Vitelli leaves. Gomez shakes his head and turns toward his men.
All right, let's move out!
His hands tied, Arlo watches the Rangers climb into the helicopters.
They're taking off. They're leaving.
The helicopters begin lifting off. Carrying the canister, Brenner walks toward the van and the SUV.
Dennis, get your link set up. I want to patch in from here.
What about these two?
We're going to use them for demonstration footage. Having witnessed the effects myself, I can assure you it'll be very useful when the bidding starts. Get him in the middle of a dam.
Sir. Up!
Taipei is online. Geneva's coming up, and we should have Karachi and Kabul in a couple of minutes.
All right. Telepilot will be a half hour. Carl, set up the camera. Dennis, we will open the bidding at $100 million.
Dennis smiles and adjusts his headset. Bond forces Mason and Arlo to the center of the bridge at gunpoint, and they sit down. Brenner carries the canister to them, puts it on the dam, and removes the lid. He opens a pocket knife, removes a tube of blue gel, and unscrews its lid. As Carl sets up a movie camera on a tripod, Brenner scoops a small amount of gel onto the tip of his knife. He moves it toward his hostages, and Arlo flinches.
Won't be long, gentlemen.
He puts the small amount of gel on the concrete dam, and it begins dissolving.
And it won't be pleasant.
He puts the tube into the container.
But such is the price.
And closes it up.
Of patriotism.
Vaughn and Brenner leave.
Hey! Hey!
Shut up.
We gonna die!
The gel continues dissolving.
Everybody's linked up.
All right. Clear the area.
Brenner is carrying the container as they climb into the van, leaving Arlo and Mason behind.
We gonna die!
Put your hand in my pants.
Mason turns his back to Arlo.
What? We gonna die? You want me to do some freaky
Arlo.
Stuff, night shift?
Arlo!
Reach into my pocket.
In the van, Brenner and the others are watching Mason and Arlo on a monitor.
Come on!
Okay.
Arlo pulls out a knife. He frees Mason. Mason frees Arlo's hands. He frees Arlo's legs, and Arlo runs. Mason doesn't move.
Arlo!
He comes back for Mason.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little stressed. A little stressed.
They run.
Come on, then.
Stay put. Keep the camera trained on them. Bound or loose, their deaths will be equally effective and inevitable.
So I got Taipei grinding on me here. How long is this supposed to take?
I borrowed a truck. Oh, you borrowed. But I stole the truck and you borrowed.
Geneva just pulled the plug. Kabul is out.
Okay. Ah, come on.
Pakistan says they'll be back tomorrow. And Taipei just went offline, sir.
Vaughn bursts from the van, and Brenner follows. They run across the dam as Mason and Arlo reach a package delivery truck.
Go, go, go!
Mason sits on the floor, and Arlo gets behind the wheel.
I just can't leave that stuff with that lunatic.
That's why I didn't give it to him.
What? You got Elvis?
Sometimes the prey bites back.
Go!
Arlo stomps on the gas pedal, and the truck slides into a guardrail, spilling ice from the styrofoam cooler in the back.
Hang on!
He turns the truck around as Vaughn and Brenner run up. Bullets pelt the back of the package delivery truck as they drive away. Brenner returns to the van.
Positions, we're taking up the hunt.
Come on, Brenner, it's over. Nobody said anything about going up against Rangers.
Besides, how are we going to sell something we don't have?
Nothing has changed, I assure you both. The Army still thinks we got Elvis. They made a tactical withdrawal. It's just those two amateurs now. We really want to concede $100 million to them.
As the delivery truck speeds over the bridge, Mason scoops the ice back into the broken cooler. SUV hurry after them, and the SUV clips another car as it races down the road. On a city street, Arlo rounds a corner and, leaving town, passes a sign that reads Fort Magruder. Brenner and the others cross the bridge toward town. Brenner reads a map and speaks into a communicator at his throat.
Carl, establish contact with that deputy we met earlier. He'll be most useful now.
In the delivery truck, Elvis's thermometer reads 42.7 degrees. Holding the cooler in one hand, Mason drags himself toward Arlo in the driver's seat.
We need more ice.
All right, there's a service station on the other end of the Northridge Tunnel. They'll have ice.
In town, the SUV and the van round the corner. The thermometer reads 45.7.
No, 45.7. Come on, come on.
Mason grabs the cell phone. Elsewhere, the three helicopters land in a field. Vitelli gets out and hurries to Gomez.
Come here. What's going on, Carl?
All right, this is what I want you to do.
Ranger units in Magruder have got the local airports covered, sir. The Pentagon's covering the international traffic.
Good. Gomez, I want two birds back to Missoula. I want a rendezvous here, approach from the southwest.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Vitelli goes back to his helicopter, and Gomez and another soldier hurry away.
Earl, you got to tell Mason, pass through from Magruder.
Vitelli grabs a headset.
Mrs. Vitelli, is that you, Mason?
Yeah. Colonel, listen, I've got Elvis.
Wait!
I've got the real thing.
Got Elvis!
What? Say again, Mason.
What we gave Brenner on the dam was a phony. We've got the real thing.
Where are you now, Mason?
I'm in mile marker 62, heading west on 35. Here they come, and Brenner's right on our ass.
Vitelli climbs into the chopper, and it lifts off. On the road, the SUV pulls closer to the delivery truck.
He's coming up fast!
Brenner glares at the back of the truck as they move closer. Overhead, the helicopters are following the vehicles, and Vitelli looks down at the cars below. The SUV bumps the back of the truck. Arlo lurches forward, and the chase continues.
Hit him again.
The SUV hits the truck and falls behind as the truck moves away. In the helicopter,
you've got to take out Brenner's van before they reach that tunnel.
Get ready to take it out!
Okay, here comes the tunnel!
A helicopter turns to face the van. Arlo drives into the tunnel with Brenner close behind him. The three helicopters hover outside.
Do it now! Hit it now!
The helicopter fires and the SUV explodes. The back half bursts into a ball of flame. Turning on its side, the SUV slides into the tunnel. The helicopter fires again, and the van is blown to bits. Inside the tunnel, Mason and Arlo watch the explosions behind them.
All right, good. Head to the other end of the tunnel. I'll stay here and secure this position.
The thermometer is climbing.
47, you better floor it. What do you think I'm doing? It's a damn postal truck! What the hell?
Pappas's car is blocking the tunnel.
You gotta be kidding me.
Pappas has a gun on them. They skid to a stop.
Let me see your hands.
Oh! Pappas, move the car. Move the car, please.
I said, let me see your hands, now.
Redneck idiot, do you have any idea what's going on here?
Yeah, idiot. I'm putting a murder suspect and a guy that stole a truck under arrest. Now raise them.
Let me put it in easy terms, Aristotle. We are carrying a damn bomb that is going to explode if we don't get out of this tunnel.
A chopper is hovering over the tunnel.
No sign of him, Colonel.
Vitelli dials his cell phone. In the tunnel, Mason answers his phone.
Yeah!
Mason, what is the temperature of Elvis?
47.
If you're not out of there soon, I have got to seal the tunnel.
God!
They're going to see us.
Why don't they talk to the Sage of Jerome here?
What the hell's a sage?
Listen, Pappas, there's a colonel on the other end of this phone. His name's Vitelli. Talk to him. He's right outside.
What happened to Colonel Brenner?
Listen, deputy, he's the dude the army guys are looking for.
Maloney.
Put the phone down, Mason. I've had enough of both
of you. Listen to me, Pappas. If you don't let us by, we're all going to die in this tunnel now.
Cars are lined up behind the sheriff.
Don't move.
Arlo swaggers toward Pappas defiantly.
Shoot me.
He hurries back to the delivery truck.
What's it say? 49.4.
Mason speaks into the phone.
It says 49.
49? Colonel, we gotta seal that tunnel! Colonel!
Night shift.
What?
It's melting, man.
Mason! Mason!
Yeah!
It's too late, Mason. I've gotta seal it.
A rocket fires from the helicopter. One end of the tunnel explodes. Pappas looks toward Mason and Arlo.
What the hell was that?
It's the army sealing us in.
What the hell is going on?
All I had to do was get it on ice.
Now it's over! Kiss your ass goodbye, Pappas! Ice? You want ice? I got a whole case of beer back here in the car floating in the stuff.
Seal it up!
Okay.
We've got ice!
What? Say again, Mason. I can barely hear you.
We've got it on ice. We've got Elvis on ice.
Hold it.
Mason limps toward a car with Elvis. They put it in the back and scoop ice over it. The temperature moves from 49.7 to 49.8.
We're too late.
It climbs to 49.9, then starts dropping. Mason watches wide-eyed, then rests his head against his arm.
It's working.
What? What?
It's working.
Arlo kisses Mason's cheek and Mason pulls away.
We gotta get out of here. Vitelli! Vitelli! Can we get out on your end of the tunnel?
Negative! Negative! There's ammo fire from Winter's vehicle. He must have had a damned arsenal in there.
Well, hell, the smoke's gonna kill us anyway.
There's gotta be another way out of here.
They look up toward an overhead man-made shaft.
Hold this.
Arlo gives Mason the phone and hops onto the sheriff's car. Reaching up, he grabs a ladder and pulls it down. It breaks the windshield.
Sorry. I think I found a way out.
There's a vent shaft leading straight up.
Okay, I'll have a chopper meet you at the top.
All right. I'll lead him out.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Come on. Follow me. Come on, let's go.
That's it. Hang on.
Let's go.
Come up.
Got it.
Come on.
Come on, Darwin. I got you.
I'm going to get Elvis. You go. They'll meet you at the top.
Come on, big guy.
As Arlo helps people up the ladder, Mason hops around the car to the ice chest. Taking off his shirt, he fills it with ice and puts Elvis in it. Arlo follows the people up the shaft.
Faster. Come on, night shift.
Mason wraps the shirt around Elvis and ties the arms. Cuddling it to his chest, he runs. Meanwhile, Vaughn and Brenner stride through the smoky tunnel holding their guns. Mason reaches the ladder holding the shirt in one hand. He grimaces as he starts to climb. He places Elvis on the landing and pulls himself up as Vaughn takes aim. He starts back down, and Vaughn aims at him again with a smile.
Oh.
Brenner pushes her gun away. Climbing from the car, Mason faces them.
Where's Elvis?
Dead last time I checked.
Brenner looks up at water dripping from the landing. He climbs the ladder and turns toward Vaughn with a wild grin.
Come now.
Oh, don't worry. I'm a professional. This won't hurt a bit.
I'm an amateur.
Mason hits her.
This is gonna hurt like hell.
He pounds her face into the car and she falls. As Brenner reaches for Elvis, Mason grabs his legs. They fall, bouncing off the car onto the ground. Brenner has Elvis in his arms and runs down the smoky tunnels. Mason limps after him. At the top of the shaft, Pappas lifts a grate as a helicopter lands a short distance away and Rangers leap out.
Come on!
A little boy slowly works his way up the ladder. At the top, Pappas helps him from the vent as the Rangers arrive.
Is Elvis out?
Negative!
In the tunnel, Mason tackles Brenner from behind. Brenner drops Elvis and Mason lunges for it as flames shoot from the wreckage of the SUV. The men start fighting and the shirt is knocked away, spilling ice and containers of Elvis over the ground. Brenner punches Mason to the ground and kicks him. He holds a gun over Mason.
Why? You're nothing. Nobody. Why?
Never understand.
I would have in another life. They took that life away and left me with nothing. But now I have it all.
Arlo's behind Brenner. Brenner turns and Arlo stabs him in the chest with a thermometer. Brenner drops to his knees and Arlo hurries to Mason. Brenner pulls out the bloody thermometer. As Arlo and Mason run away, Brenner crawls toward Elvis.
What'd you come back for? Why'd you stay behind?
Outside the tunnel, Mason and Arlo run to Vitelli. As they run past Brenner's burning van, it explodes.
Elvis is still in there! It's gonna go off!
Arlo and Vitelli help Mason as they run. In the tunnel, Brenner reaches Elvis and picks up a tube. In a helicopter, Vitelli grabs a headset.
Now! Seal that tunnel now!
The helicopter lifts off and a Ranger throws a bomb down the vent shaft. He falls to the ground. Rockets are fired at the tunnel. A huge explosion sends flames and debris through the air. In the tunnel, Brenner is on his knees, arms extended at his sides as Elvis begins bubbling on the pavement in front of him. Elvis explodes and Brenner's face melts. Overhead, the ground shakes as people struggle to keep their footing. Brenner's body disintegrates. Later, outside, a medic is attending to Mason's leg. Arlo is sitting beside him.
Need some help getting the ambulance?
No, thanks.
Arlo and Mason stand. As Mason hobbles away, Arlo follows with a smile.
You know, we saved 500,000 people from a full body peel. What's it? Big time.
They aren't exactly going to publicize this, Arlo.
Hey, we're heroes, my man. It's time to start acting like it. Quit limping around like that.
Excuse me, I got a bullet in my leg.
Always the negative with you.
All right, gentlemen. We're about done here.
Vitelli approaches.
Fine job.
Thank you.
Your country and a lot of innocent people in it owe you.
Us. Owe us.
You did help a little.
Who drove the ice cream truck that kept Elvis cool?
Who had to put a gun to your head?
Who put the big hurt on that army nut job to save your narrow butt?
You, Arlo.
Hello?
You.
Right. You damn Skippy. And now that I am both jobless and truckless in the service of my country, I feel that my government owes me a little restitution.
Owes us.
I'll handle it from here, sweetie. Owes us a little restitution.
We do have to take into consideration that through your courage and selfless actions, you did save millions of lives.
Exactly.
However, you are also non-enlisted personnel with detailed knowledge of classified secrets falling under the National Security Act. In order to protect those secrets, I am authorized to fine you, imprison you, to take any extreme measures I deem necessary, including the permanently extreme.
With his arms around Mason's shoulders, Arlo's eyes widen and Mason's mouth gapes open.
I'd say we're about even.
Patriotism is its own reward.
I think so, too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Vitelli leaves, and Mason turns to Arlo.
Not all that. No need to get in the man's face.
I was not in the man's face. I was negotiating.
That's negotiating. He threatened to kill us.
But he didn't. See, that's negotiation.
That's both.
Arlo looks away, biting his lower lip.
Well, if we're not going to be famous, at least this will be a great story to tell some ladies in a bar somewhere.
Well, nobody's going to believe us. Nobody's even going to know this happened except for the people that were here, the army, you and me.
I shouldn't be walking on that.
Hello, somebody.
Heard you saved a lot of lives. The army said it was a terrorist bomb.
Arlo and Mason look from two young nurses toward each other and smile.
Oh, I feel faint. Oh.
The nurses rush to help them.
Oh, you got me, you got me.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
You know, it's very Hush, hush, as we say in the spy game.
Yeah.
It all started with our mission in Istanbul. I was undercover as a tennis player. My code name was Blackjack. Night Shift was my coach.
I'm sorry, Mason was my coach.
He handled the rackets and I carried the ball. Because that was my mission.
He's using big balls.
That's right. Ooh, that's it. Just grab. Just put your arm. Don't be afraid.
You got a nice, strong grip for a woman.